Shana Tova, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely partner and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and yes, Lashana Tova to you as well, which means to a good year.
It's like saying Happy New Year.
Yes, and Rosh Hashanah is Hebrew for head of the year, so obviously begins God's new year on his biblical calendar, Tishri 1, tomorrow at sundown.
Yeah, the calendar that we like to follow.
Yes, we do. Interesting that it just happens to also fall on the same week of the UN General Assembly meetings in New York. And President Trump yesterday expressed to the UN that there needs to be something new with them as well. He was very blunt, stating it needed an overhaul, like a reformation. He said it's been mismanaged and that the United States has had to carry the greatest financial burden.
So, kudos to him.
Yes, and this morning, he was even more direct, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But before we pray, let me just say that after the news portion, we will be in Joel 2 and Hosea 5. So hopefully you can have your Bibles open to those books so you can follow along with your own eyes. So, honey, please ask for God's blessing.
Okay. Lord God, this week we celebrate your wonderfully made creation, for you alone are our God and the creator of all things. As the bride of Christ, we are very mindful of your awesomeness and greatness, and that your word does inform us of dire days before your return. But we will not fear, but rather trust you with all our heart and lean not unto our human understanding, but acknowledge you in all your ways, knowing you will direct our paths and make our way smooth. We ask for divine assistance, especially for your righteous ones affected by the continuing storms, as we lift up you to the salvations of our loved ones and any afflictions encountered by your bride. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, the East Coast is bracing for more hurricanes, especially Maria over the Caribbean islands and Puerto Rico, as we continue in the season of Teshuvah, which encompasses the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, and concludes on the Feast of Yom Kippur, which is September 30th, and in English it's called the Day of Atonement, which we will cover next week.
Yeah, if we're still here.
Right. And those who do study our Christian Hebrew roots understand that he will soon fulfill his next appointment, also known as the last Trump. And there's no pun intended there. But he's going to do that by calling up his bride for our wedding to Yeshua under the huppah of heaven.
Should we expand a little bit on this important event happening this week in New York?
Okay. It is the 72nd Annual United Nations General Assembly of most, but not all, of its 193 members in attendance. Russia, Germany, and China, as well as North Korea and Venezuela, only sent envoys to represent their leaders. Yesterday, besides his words about reforming the UN to better serve the people, our president had a private and productive meeting with Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu. Then this morning, he gave a solid and to-the-point speech urging all nations to come together to address the great dangers facing the world.
Like Iran and North Korea.
Emphatically, and said that North Korea's rocket man is on a suicide mission. That's what he called him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He also spoke about President Maduro of Venezuela.
Which I knew he would, since they have officially announced their parting away from using the U.S. petrodollars, which, as we talked about last week, is very problematic for the United States.
As we talked about last week, and is archived on our webpage.
Yes, it is. And this afternoon, Israel's Netanyahu spoke as well, especially focusing on Iran in Syria. And tomorrow, amongst others, President Trump will meet with Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. That should be interesting. Then Iran's leader Hassan Rouhani will also address the body tomorrow. And then, of course, others will speak for the remainder of the week. And next week, if we're still here, I will try to put it all together and give you a short summary of my thoughts, as I hope to get some deeper insights on what occurred, especially in all those sideline meetings that go on. But naturally, North Korea is the big topic, and so is Iran.
And you know that's weighing heavily on Bibi's mind.
And it should, since its proxy military is hunkered down on Israel's Golan border, and Iran is planning on establishing a base right in Syria.
Wow, that is big.
It's very big. And there is a high likelihood that Israel will do whatever it must to squelch that. For Iran is right now establishing a foothold on both banks of the Euphrates River and both sides of the Syrian-Iraqi border.
Yeah, perhaps a war with Syria.
How about Israel?
I mean Israel, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yes, I do think so, or at least maybe. You know, we have to still look at Psalm 83, and maybe that's about to come to fruition.
And Isaiah 17, concerning Damascus.
Oh, that's right. It's going to be in a heap of ruins, it says. Mm-hmm. And again, I am sure that was the major topic in yesterday's conversation between Netanyahu and President Trump, who, by the way, was told by Putin last week that the United States would not be permitted to impede the Syrian Hezbollah initiative for the capture of the areas east of the Euphrates, and that Russia would confront U.S.-backed forces on the ground or in the air if they got in the way. That's pretty heavy. Now, I think most knew, actually, that after investing massive military and financial resources in Syria, Putin had no intention of allowing pro-American forces to share in the kudos of the final victory over the Islamic State, or ISIS, in Syria, which, it does appear at this time, belongs to the Russian-Syrian, Iranian, Hezbollah war alliance.
You know, even though Trump did take credit for it in his speech this morning.
Yes, he did.
Now Russia can build that underground pipeline.
Oh, yeah, right. From Iran through Syria to the Mediterranean, because they want to make money and sell to Europe, which has, I think, really been the secret cornerstone of the war all along. So now it pushes Saudi Arabia, though, out of the game, who also intended to do a pipeline through Syria had Assad been pushed out.
That could be the spark that ignites World War III.
Yes, and if Israel does attack, we will have to go against Russia, and that's probably the assurance that Netanyahu needed from our president at yesterday's private meeting.
That's a major turn of events.
Yeah, wars and rumors of wars.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right. Thank you, dear. So last week we talked about the fall feasts, which actually means appointments made by the Lord to his people, which we are, because we have been grafted into his promises. So,
praise be to the King.
Praise be to the King. Anyway, we want to continue the teaching on Rosh Hashanah because this two-day feast begins tomorrow at sundown and goes until Friday at sundown. And I got to say, many of us get pretty excited every fall season in anticipation of his calling us up to meet him in the air. It's going to happen, saints, some year, and that you can be sure of. Yeshua literally fulfilled his first four appointments that encompassed his first coming during the spring rain season, and we covered that last week, and therefore will also fulfill the last three with his latter day fall rainy season. And that, of course, will include our seven-year honeymoon, bringing to conclusion all his set appointments.
And as we said last week, if he doesn't come this year, we have more time to bring more lost souls into salvation.
And we talked a little about the two rainy seasons in the spring and in the fall, but I'd like to expound on that by showing another scripture besides James 5 that confirms his first and second comings are as the two major rains in Israel. So if you can open your Bibles to Joel 2:23-24, and I'll read from there. It says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month." And yes, Tishrei is the first month on their civil calendar, their first calendar. Then it goes on to say in verse 24, by clarifying the season, when he says, "The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil." That tells you it's in the fall. And we have another one in Hosea 5:15-16. Jesus says, "I will return again to my place." So obviously he was here and now he's returned back to heaven until they acknowledge their offense. That will happen during the tribulation. He goes on to say, "Then they will seek my face, and in their affliction they will earnestly seek me." We have a tendency of calling towards God when we are being afflicted. So then Hosea takes over in chapter 6, verse 1, and he says, "Come on, let us return." And by the way, that's teshuvah from the root word shub. He says, "Let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bandage us up." Verse 2. After 2 days, now remember a day is as 1,000 years, so it really says, so after 2,000 years from his first coming, in other words, it says, "He will revive us on the third day," and once again on the 3,000th year from his first coming, "He will raise us up," that's the resurrection, "that we may live in his sight." Verse 3 says, "Let us know and let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord." That's what we're doing today. "Because his going forth is established as the morning, and he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth." Now, that's pretty clear. He will return for his bride in the fall season, and then 7 years later return to earth also in the fall season, specifically on Yom Kippur, to keep that appointment. And of course we will accompany him, and we will then be his wife according to Revelation 19:7. Then we'll set up his kingdom on earth as we celebrate the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which by the way also happens to be his earthly human birthday, which, should you care, is October 5th this year. Now, it changes every year on our calendar, but it's always Tishri 15 on God's calendar. And we'll go over that in 2 weeks, okay? Okay, we also talked last week about how we are in what we call the church age, waiting for the last trump to sound, which, by the way, is an idiomatic phrase for the Feast of Trumpets, for the simple reason that on Rosh Hashanah, they would blow 100 shofar blasts, and at the last trump, they would officially usher in the new year. Sort of like the ball dropping in Times Square on December 31st. So it retained the expression, the last trump, as Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 15. But it is probably the most misinterpreted idiom used by Paul and a perfect example of why some knowledge of Hebraic roots is so vitally important. Honestly, the seventh angel that blows a trumpet in Revelation 11 is not the same as the last trump, as some are insisting, giving credence to the idea that the bride is here for some of the tribulation. No way is that even possible. Let me also say that Pentecost as well has an idiom called the first trump due to the fact in Exodus 19 it was the first shofar blown by God when he gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And Yom Kippur, which we'll expound on next week, has the idiom called the great trump, as we see in Matthew 24:31, at his second coming, when we're with him, I expect that will be on a Yom Kippur. So, let's just look at some other idiomatic phrases pointing to Rosh Hashanah. It's also called the coronation. Why? Well, because on Rosh Hashanah, besides eating something sweet like apples and honey for a sweet new year, they would also eat from a round loaf of bread symbolizing a crown. You see, all kings were crowned on Rosh Hashanah, even if they assumed office earlier due to death. This was the official inauguration day. Jesus, too, will be crowned king as soon as we get up there. So naturally, it's fitting that it would be on a Rosh Hashanah. You see, there's a lot of dots that we put together, not just one or two. Then it's also called Yom Terah, which is the day of the awakening blast because it's meant to awaken the dead. Resurrection, of course. It's also called Chief of the Year, so or Head of the Year, to typically say to others, L'shana tova tikitevu, which we do, and means, may you be inscribed for a good year. And it's also called arise because the actual word resurrection is not in the Old Testament, instead a description of it, as in Isaiah 26:19. It's also called open the gates, as in Isaiah 26. We went into detail about 2 years ago on this amazing chapter, and it is, of course, archived on our webpage. But the gates are open on Rosh Hashanah and they're closed on Yom Kippur. It's called the Nilah. So when he returns physically to earth, when we're with him, it'll be too late to repent after the gates are closed at sundown on Yom Kippur. Again, just more connecting of the dots. It's called the Day of Judgment also because certainly to those left behind, it's a day of judgment. And the Bema, where the books containing the deeds of all humanity are open before him. Malachi 3:16 speaks of the book of remembrance, so it's also called the day of remembrance. Let me read that quickly. It says in Malachi 3, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. It's also called the Hidden Day because, first of all, Rosh Hashanah is always on a new moon. So it's a little bit, the moon is kind of hidden. But every new month they would have a festive meal because it was a type of a new beginning. And by the way, they could only see the king on a Sabbath or a new moon, as confirmed in 2 Kings 4:23. And Psalm 81:3 talks about it too. It says, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. And the beginning of every month is determined by the first visible sighting where the shofar is blown, one long blast. Numbers 10:10 states that the trumpets should be blown at all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. However, on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah, 100 trumpets were blown to differentiate that it was the new year. And it's, of course, called No One Knows the Day or the Hour. In Mark 13:32, if you keep reading in context, Jesus explains that he means you don't know which literal day or the exact hour of his return. And we see in verse 35 that he adds, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. And since Rosh Hashanah is for 2 days, you also don't know which day. So it is quite fitting. And again, it's pointing to the fact that it's on a new moon. This fact is important too, and I want to say, Jesus is using wedding terminology as a clue, because it was the father that told the groom when the hadar, or the wedding chamber, was ready. And it had to be to his specifications to go get his bride. And she didn't know for sure when that would be. She would have hints from the groom's friends if it was getting close, just like we have some big hints right now. Plus, we have Jesus' friends, too, who were Moses and Elijah. And, of course, this is our word. The Torah was penned by Moses, and Elijah is known to be the prophet over all the prophets. So these are the two who show up at the Transfiguration, and the witnesses that will show up in Revelation as well. Our scriptures tell us how it will be and what signs to look for. That's why the bride would be expecting a shofar sound and a shout that she would hear from afar from when the groom was approaching her. And we too are going to hear that shout and a shofar when we meet him in the air. It's going to be a pretty neat one too. And we all hope it's going to be very soon. And who knows, maybe this week. So to us, some year it will be our wedding to the Messiah. Okay, that we know. So understand this important concept. God organized these detailed wedding requirements for his chosen ones with particular phrases that Jesus would then later use to give us huge clues about how it will be with us. And Paul says in Romans 15 that the things written before is now for our learning, like clues to find the treasure. You know those gold nuggets that so excite us when we discover one? They are there if you choose to dig for them. And remember Proverbs 25:2. It says, God hides them so we can find them. And the more difficult the treasure is to find, the more we become like him and closer to him. So there really is a supreme God. And he sent his only son for you so that you can have eternal life with him. There is still time. So right now, give your heart and life to the Lord. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that shalom, that perfect peace. So, if I don't see you in the air, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.